Good morning, everybody. It is fantastic to be in the house of the Lord with you today, and I'm giving props to Midwesterners, because if this weather was going on in Houston or Hawaii, we would not have church at all. And you are here in numbers and strength, and God has been good. And just an FYI, in your bulletins, you'll see that your notes is now a pull out with three holes punched in it. And we have binders outside. If you are a note taker and would like to be one who collects your notes, then these are available for you out in the foyer today. Just one more blessing from McCord Road Christian Church. Hallelujah. And today, I like people who clap about McCord Road. That's awesome. Thank you again. No, stop. We're not paying for this. The one thing that I do want to mention, though, is because this is Super Bowl Sunday, we want to do everything we can. It's very important that we as a family, the family of God, we do everything that we can to make sure that we don't, bring any rifts or tension or division within the body of Christ. And so I know that there's really hard feelings and everything, people are really for or against or whatever. So I just want to encourage you, not to cause any tension with your brother or with your sister regarding things like the sports and Super Bowl. We don't want to cause any problems. Haters gonna hate. And players, we want to talk about players in here, but I'm just gonna shake it off. Hallelujah. It doesn't get any better from here. Yeah. We are launching our relationship playbook series this morning, and as we are, yeah, you gotta look at 12 the whole time. Somebody in first service came up and said, I want to tell you, they said, number one, really it gave me a nice compliment. Number two, thank you for mentioning something that I'll mention at the end of the service today. Number three, I hated looking at 12 the entire service. I said, well, you're going to have to look at him a lot today. So, moving on, we are launching this, and as these clips were playing this morning, you heard certain names of Lot. You heard the name of the player that was going into the end zone. You heard the name of the quarterback as the ball was released. Different things like that. But as these individuals were throwing or playing or running, none of them were playing by themselves. You heard their name, but there were other players on their team that were making that moment possible in their lives. And just as the guys on the field today will be trying to achieve great things on their own, all of them will achieve anything they achieve based upon the teamwork that they're involved in. There's somebody blocking, there's somebody running, there's somebody passing, there's somebody catching. And sometimes what's going on the far side of the field from where the play is running is the very thing that caused the defense to be off their mark, and now the offense can do what they were planning to do all along. The entirety of the field is important. It's not just a singular component. And in the game of life that you and I are playing today, that we're engaged in, the entirety of our field is important. We need to be aware of that, and that's what this whole series, Relationship Playbook, is all about. It's about identifying key people in your life and the roles that they should play, that God has designed them to play. And so as we get into it, we're looking at the scripture, Mark chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, and John chapter 6, verse number 70 today. And as we get into this, especially in the upcoming weeks, and we start breaking down these roles, you'll find that the structure of our sermons will be just a little bit different, because we're trying to break down specific roles and kind of try to identify people within those roles. But today we're going to summarize the entire series and give kind of the structure and the mind and the spirit behind this whole thing. And today we're setting the stage in Mark chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And the Bible says this: these are the 12 he chose. That's an important phrase, and we'll come back to that. Simon, who he named Peter, James and John, the son of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Each of these individuals, these 12, played a role in the life of Christ. And over the next couple of weeks, we're gonna look at a sports analogy to try to bring home these points. But it's not about the sport. It's about really your life. And it's about what God is trying to do within your life. Because no one plays the game of life alone. We are all playing with other people. There are other people on the field of life with us. There's people all around all the time. Some of them, you're so thankful that they're around. And some of them, you wish they weren't around quite as much as they are. But they're there. You get that phone call. You get that text. You get that email. You get that visit. Somebody just knocking on your door and saying, hey, here I am. And so you begin to try to relate in different ways in your life with the people who are around you. And every single person plays a role. The people that are closest to us, they're the ones who have the most immediate and noticeable impact. If I get up in the morning and Christy's not really happy with me for some reason, then that impacts me incredibly throughout the day. Until we can get that right, it bothers me. But she's not the only one who can bother me. There are people who I don't even know their name, and I will never know their name, but they cut me off on the highway, and now my whole day is messed up because that person did that thing and caused me to slam on my brakes, and I spilled my coffee in my lap, and what do you know, coffee's hot. And so here I am, and I'm upset, and I got spots all over myself, and now I get to wherever I'm going, and I'm not in a good mood, and it had nothing to do with anybody I even know, but that person intersected my life, and because they intersected my life, they impacted my life. Everyone plays a part. Everyone that we interact plays a part. And being that today is Super Bowl Sunday, everyone in the stadium will play a part. The coaches, the players, the cheerleaders, the fans, the referees, the owners, all will play a role today and all will have some impact on the game as the players play. Now, when these two teams meet, they're going to be facing one another, and in the heat of the moment and the passion of the game and in, you know, big things on the line, they're going to be making critical decisions. They're going to try to figure out how they can best win and how they can best defend against the other team winning. And as these decisions are being made, none of them are going into the game today saying, I wonder what we're going to do. There isn't a powwow happening right now saying, we should probably think about a plan. They're going in with a plan. And in the heat of the moment and the stress of the moment, they are going to be making decisions, but the decisions will be made off of an already established game plan. They have a bunch of different plays. They can go all kinds of different ways. There's all kinds of opportunity for them to show off and use unique talents and abilities in these moments. But they're always going to go back to this thing called their playbook that has everything listed in it. And so they could say in that moment, this is the direction we're going to go. And they've practiced this. They've thought this through. They've worked this thing out. And you can even see it on TV on the sidelines whenever the coach is about to send something in or they're having a discussion about a particular play. They'll even cover their mouth just in case somebody's reading lips. And I've been told that teams hire people who can read lips just so that they can try to catch a play before it's happening. All of this is happening, but it all comes back down to this thing called the playbook. In your life, you can also have a plan for how you interact with others. How you interact with others as they enter and exit your life. And so when the right people occupy the right positions in the right moments in your life, your stress level decreases and your success level increases. When you begin to interact with individuals based upon what they are meant to do and how they're meant to do it, it can change your life It can benefit your life. And so our big idea today is simply this. A relationship playbook is a critical tool in developing your life. It's critical. It's critical. It'll empower you to make right choices, even in the middle of a stressful moment. When you're just in the middle of the grind and somebody calls you out of the blue and they ask you something that's just it's just putting some heavy pressure on you. If you know what position they play and if you know what role they occupy and if you understand how you relate to that role, it can immediately change the stress level. I know it has in my life, and I believe that it will in your life. And so I have three thoughts for us today, and thought number one is this. Relational choices must be intentional. Intentional. We've said that the athlete doesn't go into the game without a plan, and a plan makes them strong. Makes them strong. Now, every single piece of the plan may not work the exact way it was planned out, but to not have a plan at all is a sure opportunity for failure. I've had the privilege of sitting with many people as they've passed from this life and into eternity. And in pretty much every one of those situations, the person passing has talked to me about some of the regrets that they have in life. Some of the things that they wish hadn't have happened or did happen, and they wish it had been a little different and it had handled things a little differently. But not one of those regrets that I can recall had anything to do with the profession that they worked or the money that they made. I don't know anybody who said that they would have changed investment strategies or how they handled their money. I have had almost every one of them talk to me about what was going on in their relationships. People have said, I wish I'd have known my spouse better. I wish I'd have spent more time with my kids. I wish that I had made more intentional, a greater intentional effort to, you know, get to know my mom and dad after I left the house. I wish I'd have pursued that romantic interest when the opportunity presented itself. And then some have said, I wish I had not pursued that romantic interest when it was presented. People talk about their relationships all the time. And what's interesting about us is that we all would say that relationships are super important, but we will spend days, even months and years planning out our professions, negotiating salaries, figuring out where we're trying to go from here to there, trying to work all the details out, but we will leave one of the most important elements of our life to complete chance. Just whoever happens to come on board is on board, and hallelujah, they're here. Without a plan, you'll develop relationships of convenience versus purpose. We must become intentional about the most important areas of our life, and Jesus shows us this. He was incredibly intentional. Incredibly intentional. Mark chapter 3 verse 16 says, these are the 12 he chose. He chose them. That means that he walked through and some people he said no. And some people he said yes. Some people he said, you know, I just don't think this is going to work out. It's not you, it's me. I don't think Jesus ever said that. It was always the other person. But see, in his life, he had a big vision. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He had a purpose in his life. And so he was saying to them, I need you to come on board with me to help fulfill the mission that I have for my life. His vision directed his choice of relationships. I know folks who have grown up and they ended up marrying somebody that was close to them, but didn't ever really think about what the vision of their life was. And as they got further along in life, suddenly he was going this way and she was going this way. And before you know it, it was this untenable situation, and suddenly divorce is in the picture, and there's hurt and there's frustration and there's anger and there's all the things that come along with that, simply because it was an issue of convenience versus purpose. And I hope that's not you today. But if it is, I promise you that God will give you a purpose that can bring you back together. And there can be restoration in your relationship. But what if we didn't try to fix what was already messed up? What if we launched the relationships of life with purpose? So when developing your playbook, you have to begin with your ending in mind. What are you looking to do in the end result, and then work it backwards from there? The old saying is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Why? Because relationships drive life. Relationships give you certain opportunities. I had the privilege in my life to, at a very young age, we were traveling to Africa and we were doing missions and ministry, and I stood before thousands of young people preaching a youth conference in Malawi, Africa, and I shouldn't, most people at that age would not have been doing that, but I had the opportunity to do it. I was called one day whenever I was probably 17 years old, and a pastor said, Micah, I'd like you to come down to Baton Rouge and preach a youth conference for me. And I was like, whoa, this is a big deal. And I'm so grateful. And I mean, 17 years old, what did I even know? Yeah. I had an opinion about everything. I knew very little. But anyway, so he says, I want you to come. And the reason he asked me is because he was my father's pastor. Relationship opened up an opportunity. And because that went well, I had other opportunities too. The young, if you're young here today, or maybe you're transitioning in life, you may not know exactly how life should look in the next 20 years, but sometimes you can figure out better what you don't want life to look like. We'll think about that, and that can help you eliminate some choices. For instance, if you say in 20 years, I don't want to be in a ton of debt, then don't do stuff today that's going to put you in a ton of debt in 20 years. That's just one, but there's many. Either way, when you know your destination, you can be intentional about who's coming along with you. And that leads us to point number two. Point number two is this: a plan increases your effectiveness. You're always going to be more effective with a plan. Now, there are people in your life who God will place there and you will invite there to speak into your world. The scripture tells us that in the mouth of many counselors there's wisdom. So it's right to get counsel, and it's right to have people speak into your life. But you also must know the part that you personally play in your life. The game is yours. And you won't position others in your life properly if you don't identify yourself as the key player. You must know that you are the key player in your life. Your life is not one that others can simply dictate into unless you allow it. So, the game plan allows us to take ownership for our own lives. And that positions us for effectiveness. Jesus chose the 12 disciples. He said, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you. And then they agreed to follow him. But he said, here was the opportunity. He said, come and follow me. He didn't say, hey, 12 guys, come on, let's get together, let's huddle up. Okay, what should we do? He didn't say, hey, guys, I want to just figure it out. Who's going to play what role here? He said, I know who I am. I'm the Savior. I'm the Lord. I'm the Son of God. And I want you, I'm asking you to follow me. But in this relationship, we're not discussing, it's not up for debate as to who I am and what part I play in my life. Some have given away the authority of their life by allowing others to dictate what they will and will not do. They're not making their own decisions anymore. It's based on what this person feels or that person thinks and that person would rather. And it's a frustrating, demoralizing way to live. You can't possibly position others properly in your life without assuming personal responsibility and authority within your life. You can't do it. Because if you don't know where you're standing, it's impossible to properly determine where others should stand. It's like take a map. If you look at a map and it doesn't have a blue dot, just a map, unless you know where you're at, you can't determine where you must go or how to get there. It's the same thing in relationships. When you know who you are, you become more effective. Your life is your responsibility, and you must manage and direct those relationships. And so if you're saying, well, I don't know that my life's that effective right now, you might be dealing with an issue of the abdication of ownership, where you've stepped away from the authority of your life and allowed someone else to take control. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, I'm in partnership with this person, or I'm married to that person, or whatever. And yes, that's very true. But Christy is a whole person all by herself. She doesn't need me to complete her. She doesn't need it. She's good. She's strong. I'm a complete person all by myself. And I could do life without her. We just choose not to. So we're in partnership by choice and by mission. But here's a hard fact. This is a really, really hard fact. This is a super duper duper hard fact. And if you don't get this fact, the rest of them won't matter. Because here's the fact. You can't change what other people do or how they feel or how they interact with others around them. You hear it all the time. I just wish this person would just... The old saying is, if wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. It's not going to happen. You can't control what they're doing. It's interesting, as children grow up, they start off small and they need you to do everything for them, and you position them so you can change their diaper, and you know, you don't let them do what they want to do. You control every piece, and then as they get a little bit older, you wish you could still do that, but they're bigger and they do things all by themselves. And then as they get a little bit older, somewhere approaching teenage years, you start realizing that you really can't control every single thing that they do and every single thing that they think. And even if you can control the hours of the day in their life and make sure they're here versus there and so on and so forth, you can't change what's in their minds. My sister told my dad one time, he said, sit down and eat your green beans. And she said, no. He said, you're not leaving this table till you eat your green beans. She stood there. For several hours, she stood there. I'm not joking. My sister is stubborn. I'm nothing like her. She stood there for 3 hours, and finally, after she got tired, she sat down and she looked at my father and she said, on the outside, I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. At that point, my dad just said, eat your green beans. You want to be able to, but you can't. The only person that you can control or change their interaction with the world is yourself. And too many people give away that authority in their lives. Jesus kept the positioning authority for himself. Let's look at the stories of Peter and Judas. Jesus knew Peter would betray him. He told him, when the rooster has crowed 3 times, you'll have already denied me 3 times. And Peter's like, ain't going to happen. And Jesus like says, yes, it is. And it, sure enough, it does. But Jesus also knew that while Peter would deny him 3 times, Peter would also be in the courtyard while all the other disciples fled and were nowhere to be found or seen. Peter was at least close to Jesus. But Jesus also knew that Judas would betray him. Let's look at what John 6:70 says. Then Jesus said, I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil. You think you're going to get every choice of your relationships right? Jesus even chose a devil. He knew what was happening. And so even in choosing the relationships of his life, Jesus understood that one was going to betray him, one was going to deny him. But I want you to notice the plan that Jesus works out. When Jesus was choosing someone to introduce New Testament salvation to the world, we read about this in Acts chapter 2, he did not give that job to Judas. He gave that job to Peter. Because he knew Peter's heart and he knew the role that Peter needed to play. And he did not try to make Judas do what Peter was going to do. Nor did he ask Peter to play the role of Judas. Why? Because Jesus intentionally positioned each for their role in his life. Your effectiveness will decrease if you give away the control of your life by allowing others to dictate the terms of their relationship with you consistently. As we break all of this down over the next couple of weeks, things will become clearer because this isn't hard and fast rules. This is a changing situation. We're going to see that in just a minute. But you must be the one that's making the choices and understanding that you're making those choices. Thought number three is this: a strong playbook makes healthy relationships possible. Christy, can you help me? Mr. Guy, do you mind helping me? Could you just stand on the other side of Christy there? She's going to stand in the middle and you stand a little further that way. Go ahead. Now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three and then you're going to say the same words that I'm going to say. Okay? And these are the words. Hey Christy, could you come over here for a moment? That's all we got to say. So, hey Christy, can you come over here for a moment? One, and we're going to do one, two, three, and then she's going to do whatever she does. Ready? Ready? One, two, three. Hey Christy, would you come over here for a moment? Now, I was hoping that was going to happen. You were too. That's good. Good company. Good company. Now, the reason that that did happen, thank you, baby doll. The reason that that did happen is because Mr. Guy is a very nice man. And he's skilled and just you should spend some time talking to him. Good man to get to know. But he doesn't have the same influence with Christy that I do. Now, and he shouldn't in all reality. But he doesn't. Offering equal influence from your life is unsustainable and it creates unhealthy relationships. Christy was not offering equal influence there. And it creates unhealthy relationships when we try to say that everybody has the same level of influence in our life. And we have different reasons for trying to say, well, you know, I don't want to rank people's influence in my world. Sometimes we don't want to offend folks. Sometimes we don't want to make the hard choice. Sometimes we want to say, well, we're trying to be loving. So we want everybody to have the same level of input into our world. Sometimes we don't want to label people. We don't want to say, well, that person, you know, they're just not the person for me in this area or what have you. Sometimes Christians say, well, I just want to be like Jesus. But Jesus absolutely positioned the influential relationships in his life. He absolutely did. Look at his greatest influencer was the Father who sent him. Then you have Mary and Joseph who raised him. And in that case, I said a minute ago that sometimes these relationships shift. Mary and Joseph's relationship shifted with Jesus. It didn't remain exactly the same. We know that he always loved them because there he is on the cross. He looks down at his mother. He sees the disciple John standing next to her. And he says, John, you've got to take care of her for me since I'm not going to be here in her old age. T- take care of my mother for me? And John says, I'll do it. And he loves her. He cares for her. But she's not the major, the biggest influencer in his life at that particular point. Sometimes these things shift. He had the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. Then he chose the 12 that walked with him. And then we find out that he even had a larger posse of 72 disciples that he chose to walk with him. But then the scripture tells us that he had crowds and multitudes that chose to follow him. He didn't choose them, they chose to follow him. So he has these rings of influence that radiate around his life, and you do too. And you're the only one who can establish who is sitting in which ring of influence around your life. And properly positioning people empowers healthy relationships because it sets proper expectations. Let's put that up on the screen. It sets proper expectations. If today the quarterback started running around asking the referee which play he needed to play, he'd be out quickly seeking medical attention. Because that's not the role the ref's supposed to play in his life. If he called up a few of the fans and asked them to help negotiate his salary, people would say something's off here. Yes, he's supposed to interact with the refs. Yes, he's supposed to interact with the coaches and so on and so forth in his life. That's all going to happen at some point, but they don't all have equal influence and they don't all call the plays. But we act in the very same manner when we expect things from people they are not prepared to give us. They cannot give us. If you ask Judas to play Peter's part, he will fail every single time. And if you ask Peter to play Judas's part, he will fail equally. We cannot control anybody but ourselves, but if we can identify the role they're supposed to play, then we can position them properly around us. And our stress goes down and our success goes up, and there is greater peace in our lives. But it's common to approach the attitude of relationships from the attitude of saying, well, how can I fit myself into this situation? How can I get the right education? How can I get the right attitude? How can I dress appropriately for this? How can I want to make sure that I fit them. And there's a place for that. There's a place for respecting others. But when you talk about the most intimate relationships of your life, how about we do it the way Jesus did and say, how does that person fit the mission of my life? How can that person, does that person fit the mission? I know that in my world, this has not been easy. It's been one of the more difficult things. I love everybody. I can see the good in everybody. And quite honestly, sometimes I saw good in people that they did not see in themselves. I'd say, oh, I know, if we give them one more chance, they're really going to rise to the occasion. And I would be disappointed. And when I expect other people to do things that they are not qualified for, they are not prepared for, they are not created for, then the person that gets hurt over and over and over is me. They're going through life and they're like, hey, this is great. I mean, wow, Mike and I, we're tight. We got a great relationship. Everything's good. And from their point of view, it is. But I'm over here saying, but I thought it could be different. I thought it could be more. They're not wrong. I positioned them improperly. And when I began to expect the right things from the right people, oh, I still mess it up sometimes. But as I've gotten better at positioning the right people in the right places of my life, I suddenly live with a lot more peace. And you can too. And as we break these relationships down over the next several weeks, I think it's going to benefit and bless you. I encourage you to take it to heart. You're the key player. You're going to have fans in your life. You're going to have cheerleaders in your life. You're going to have coaches, refs. Other players are going to be engaged in your world. You're going to have owners. You're going to have all these people around you in your world. And as we explore these roles, you'll be able to identify people. Sometimes people will come pop into your minds. I encourage you, even if you say, well, I'm not really a note taker, then don't take notes on what I say. But as people begin to pop into your head, as the Holy Spirit allows us to identify people, start writing them down. Don't show everybody. Hey, you used to be really close. Now you're in that far ring of influence. Not a good idea. It may not even change how often you interact with them. It just changes how they affect you. In my world, I had somebody that really dealt with a lot of emotional issues. And I'd known them for a while, and I knew that they dealt with these issues. And so I was able to interact with them and take all the good that they brought into our life, and I loved them and they loved me and everything was good. I was able to interact with them. But when they spiraled downward in one of their cycles, and suddenly they were very negative and cutting and hurtful, it didn't hurt me as much as it should have or could have, because I understood where they were at. And that allowed me, that knowledge allowed me to be able to position them properly. And after a meeting where they would just cut me from here to there, I'd walk out and say, wow, Lord, I thank you for that individual. I'm asking you to bless them. Help them as they move through this cycle and move into a better moment in their life. And then I just went on with my day. It didn't destroy my day because they were positioned properly. This, you're going to think about moms and dads and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and friends and work partners and work relationships and church relationships and all that kind of stuff. And as we go through this, just let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. I believe that He's positioning your life for something beautiful. And the relationships of your life are going to play a major part in that. We're going to bow our heads and sing and pray together. Then we're going to sing a great worship song. Our elders are going to come forward. We're going to pray together if you need prayer for anything. But I want to pray for us all corporately right now as we close this service. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're bringing to us. I thank you that you care enough about us to give us your word. And I'm asking you right now, Jesus, to touch our hearts and our minds. And as we learn more, break this down a little bit, I pray that you would give us the strength to release ourselves from some relationships and increase our interaction with others and allow you to guide us in this most critical area of life. Oh, Jesus, I give you thanks and praise for showing us the way. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship for a moment together.